Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Please, first thing, everybody come forward, especially over here, so those who come later, that they can come in without disturbing everything. Please, come on. Come closer. So is anybody here for the first time today? No, first timer. How about the second time? Third time. Okay, well, third time. Okay, good. This means satisfied customer. They came back. You can turn this down a little bit so it's not so echoey, please. Next week there should be somebody here for the first time. You have to go out and invite people. Always have to have new people coming. Fresh people. So my name is Dinesh Raidas. I'm from the United States, visiting your lovely country for the second time. I was here last month. And I think it's just a gorgeous place. Very beautiful. We went to the mountains yesterday and had a splendid time. I didn't exercise very much, but nonetheless, the view is beautiful. So today we want to talk about solving the problems of the world, right? And you all know that Krishna consciousness can solve the problems of the world. Back in 1972, Srila Prabhupada was in the Los Angeles temple giving class. And he said to the devotees, only you can save this world. Imagine. The oldest devotee at that time was maybe 6 years in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada told them, only you can save this world. But it's a fact. And we're going to explain why today. You remember when we were all children, we used to play pretend. We used to pretend in various things. We had our toys. And the boys were generally playing with trucks or soldiers or digging in the dirt, and the girls were playing with dollies and playing house. You remember that? Yeah? And generally we think that this is only childhood activity, that we give this up when we grow up, and then we stop pretending. But it's not true. Well, even as adults, we continue to pretend because we're not in touch with reality. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, right in the very beginning, the second sloka explains that the highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. This Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us the difference between truth and illusion, truth or reality and illusion. And the Bhagavatam specifically kicks out all of the cheating religions, the Kaitava Dharma. The religions that don't actually serve to free the living entity from illusion. But this is what Krishna consciousness does. We want to become free from illusion. We want to understand what is reality, and then how do we become established in that reality? So we grow up, we continue to play make-believe. And there's various people there make-believing that they're company presidents or presidents of countries, and all different kinds of roles that they adopt. And they continue like this for some time. Perhaps I could have some water. Sorry. You know, as children, of course, the parents, they call the children home to play from play. Mother will say, come on, time for your lunch. And the children, they complain, no, our play, it's just getting interesting now. We're just at the good part. We don't want to come home for lunch. But mother's calling, come on, you have to eat. This is going on. Mother Yashoda is calling Krishna like this. Young Krishna, And his cowherd friends, they were complaining. No, Krishna, you can't go. You have to stay here. Of course, our play is different from Krishna's. Anyway, our mothers would call us. We'd say, no, we have to continue playing. It was very important. We are so involved in our pretend activities. So it continues in our adulthood. That God is calling us now and again. Everybody has to leave this world at some time. God is calling us at death. And we're complaining, no, I don't want to leave. I'm so involved in my activities. I'm almost at the top of my game. I'm this, I'm that. And we don't want to leave in the same way. They call us, we're being called at the time of death to come to another reality. We spoke about that last time I was here. What happens at death? If you caught that lecture. So this wakes us up. Periodically, we get woken up from our daydream, our pretend game, by death. Then we go into another reality. And then again, if we still have material desires, we get to be born again for another round of illusion, of make-believe, pretending that I'm this or that I'm that. So the whole world is going on under these kinds of illusions. In fact, this is where the problems of the world today stem from. They stem from the fact that people are trying to turn illusion into reality. This is the source of all of the problems. By trying to pretend that there's something is different than what it is. For example, when I was a child, I had a globe in my room. It had all the different countries of the world on it. In all the countries, they were separated by various lines, right? And so when I was flying here last week, I was looking down when we crossed the border. I was looking to see, find those lines. I didn't see any. They weren't there. Every time I get in the plane, I cross the borders, I look to see for the lines. There's no lines. It's another illusion, that this country is Slovenia, and over there is Hungary or Poland or Germany, like this. It's a man-made idea. It doesn't have any existence in reality. If we go back 1,000 years or more, this idea of Slovenia as a country wasn't here, or Germany, or particularly the United States. Those things are just mental ideas that are concocted by various people. And this actually becomes the source of a lot of the problems. Because somebody wants to put the line here and somebody else wants to put the line there, right? This has gone on numerous times throughout the world. Now this is going on in Ukraine, right? They're trying to move the line. And so this is creating a lot of international consternation. So it's just an illusion. We create some artificial reality and we try to, or let's say we create an illusion and we try to bend reality to fit our illusion. But it doesn't work and it just creates problems. There's so many things like this, so many examples that we can have. Let me give you one more. What do you think? So, more illusion. This one says 10. This one says 20. So this one is worth twice as much as this one. Right? Why? Why? Who can say why? Because it's written there. Well, that's what most of us, that's the assumption that most of us go on. It's written, this one says 20, this one says 10. But that's not why it's worth twice as much. We can say, well, maybe there's twice as much paper, but they're almost the same size. So why twice as much for this one and this one. Yes, very good. Usually it takes about 5 minutes for somebody to come up with this. Because we agree. You agree, right? And at times, that agreement changes also, right? But this is another illusion, right? What do I have here? What is it? Paper. It's only paper. But we accept it as having reality. We accept it as having some value, but it has no value whatsoever, right? You can take any kind of paper. Who has some paper? Let me see your paper. There's a lot more paper here than here, right? And this paper is actually more valuable because you can write on it. You can do something with it than this one. Huh? But if you go to the store and you say, here, I'd like to buy some groceries. I'll pay you with this. What will they say? You're crazy. No, you can't do that. Because we don't agree that this paper is acceptable. This paper, because it has some nice art on it or something, I guess. This one is good. Not this paper. It's another illusion. There's no wealth here. There's no value here. It's simply a creation that we've made that we all agree to, and it creates many, many problems. Because people are manipulating this, right? It was not too long ago, earlier this year, in fact, I think, the euro was trading at around $1.25 or $1.25 or $1.30 to the U.S. dollar. Now it's down to $1.10. What happened? The agreement changed, right? Whoever trades currencies, they said, no, we're not going to give as much anymore. We'll give less. So the value changes. This means it's not real. It has no reality. So we do so many things like this. We're creating illusion and we're trying to make it reality. And in the process, we're creating problems. What's the reality? What's the actual reality? Well, the earth is real. The people are real. Food is real. Things like this. What if we erased all of the illusions, all of the man-made illusions, and just live in the reality? Can we do that? What would that look like? That would look like people living on the land, growing food, living simple life without any difficulty. There's enough land in this world for every person. Actually, there's enough land in the state of Texas. I don't know if you know America, but we have one big state called Texas. And everybody on the whole planet could fit in there with a probably about a 200 square meter size piece of land. Or you could put everybody, let's say, also in Australia with a lot of land also. So there's no shortage of land. There's enough land for everybody to live a peaceful, simple life. But the problem is that some people, they want to take more than others. Ownership. I want to own land. I want to own many houses. This is another illusion, right? What can you own? Anything? We think that we may own something, but at the time of death, all taken away. Huh? Your so-called claim to ownership finished at the time of death. So whatever we work so hard for during the life, trying to acquire wealth, trying to acquire ownership of various buildings or land or something, it's another illusion. And at the time of death, all that illusion is taken away. So this is another illusion that we've created that allows us to create many problems in the world. Who owns the land? Who will get to own the land? This creates so many problems. But, you know, if you go back to indigenous cultures of the world, they had a different idea. They didn't think that people could actually own the land. When the Europeans came to the continent of North America several hundred years ago, you know, the settlers, they bought the island, or what's called Staten Island, I guess, or no, not Staten Island, the other island, where Staten Island. Anyway, one of those islands. They bought one of those islands where New York City sits now, and they traded for some beads. Well, the Native Americans, they didn't have any concept that somebody could own the land. They were thinking that these white people, that they would just come and they'd stay there for some time and then go away. Because they didn't have any idea of owning land. How can you own the land? It's just like impossible. It's like owning the sun or something. And so this is another illusion that the Europeans brought to North America that completely bewildered the natives there and created so many problems between them. So we go on and on like this. Modern people, they're trying to create many different illusions. And in their effort to create illusions, they're simply creating problems. So the problems are not difficult to solve, actually. Mr. Einstein, he was a pretty smart fellow, you know. He taught us how to solve problems. He knew how to solve problems. And so he was teaching us. He said that a problem cannot be solved at the same level of understanding with which it's created. Okay, good. In other words, with our thinking processes, we are doing things and we create problems. But then to solve that problem, you have to have another way of looking at it. You can't solve it at the same level of understanding. So this is where the scripture, the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam come in to help actually solve the problems, because they give us another way of looking at them. Of course, they're written in the Sanskrit language, and Sanskrit language is a spiritual language. There's many words there that have no immediate translation in the Western languages. Words such as Bhagavan, Jiva, Karma, Samsara, Gunas, these kinds of words. And those words, they give us a different way of looking at reality. The words that we have, of course, that's our way of understanding reality. That's what we have. That's all we have. That's our toolbox for reality. And our Western languages, they give us so many words, but not the complete set, not the complete idea. So we're playing with, how they say, we're playing with half a deck, right? Not all the cards are there. So we're trying to understand reality, but we don't have the words, we don't have the language to understand what the real reality is. But with the help of Bhagavad Gita and the words that are given to us in the Sanskrit language, we have a different way of seeing and understanding the world, so to the point where we can understand what is illusion and what is reality, and then give up living in illusion and begin to live in reality. And then we see that the problems, they go away. They really do. It's not that we have to go and solve all the problems somehow. The problems simply go away. Well, that's an easy way to solve them, isn't it? But for many people, they think this is too simple. We say, for example, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And they say, what? Just chant this mantra. Yeah, right. It's too simple for some people. They think it has to be more complicated. That's because they're living in illusion. They have the illusion that they're the body. They don't understand their own spiritual nature and how the spiritual energy is satisfied by contact with other spiritual energies. In their world of illusion, they find only happiness by some complicated effort of, you know, making a lot of plans and spending a lot of money in this way or that way. But these things, despite their efforts, they're also not successful. So Krishna consciousness can solve all the problems because it allows us to understand what is reality and how to live in that reality. So that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're teaching and what we're also as practitioners trying to do. And we want to invite the whole world to give up their illusion, give up their false ideas, their man-made ideas that have no substance in fact, and live in the reality that's explained to us in scriptures, the Vedic literature, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the problems, let's say, okay, let's not say, they won't all go away. Yeah, we still have some challenges, our personal anarthas that we have to overcome, our attachments to material ideas. It takes some time to overcome these things, but we have the process. Just like if you're dirty, you get in the bath, the shower, you bathe yourself with soap, and so that's the process. So we have a process for purifying the consciousness, for freeing ourselves from illusion, from washing all the illusion off, and coming back to reality. And this is the process of sadhana bhakti and the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we want everybody to try this. Now some of the people here, they're already doing. So what do you think? Am I correct? Who agrees with me? Yes? Okay. So we invite everyone like this. The problems are increasing, as you know. They're getting worse and worse because they're creating more and more illusions. They're trying to make more and more illusions reality. And it just creates more and more problems. So the process is not difficult. If we simply let go of our attachment to illusion, this is what we have to do. Why don't we stop there and save a little time for discussion? So some of you, I guess since you're not first-timers here, you come periodically to the temple, huh? How many of you are initiated? Okay. All right. And those who are, let's say, not initiated yet, perhaps you have some questions about Krishna consciousness. Okay. Oh, okay. Of course, I don't understand the language, so I didn't know what she said about spiritual economics. I have my books. I have a shipment of books coming. I tried to get them here on time, but they'll be here, I think, Wednesday. And Monday night, we're speaking on the subject of karma. And there's a notice on the board in the entrance there. And I hope we have the opportunity to speak about spiritual economics sometime. I give this lecture a lot, holding up the money. Well, as an example of illusion. People can understand that one because they have a lot of experience with that. Yes. Can't hear you. Oh, you have to say for them also for this. Yeah. Okay. You can say the question for those. So everything is energy. Therefore, what's illusion? Like this? So we have to understand the different kinds of energy that there are. Not all energy is the same. The material scientists, they have studied the material energy, and they have some idea, let's say they can describe it. They can describe how it's working, but why it's working the way it is, they don't have any idea. So even their knowledge of the material energy is very, very limited. What is the electron? They don't have a clue. You know, the electrons go around the protons like this, but why? No idea. Now there's a different kind of energy called the tatastha shakti. Shakti means energy, and tatastha means capable of living in various realms. The tatastha shakti has various qualities that the inferior energy, what's called the inferior material energy, does not have, and that is consciousness. So the tatastha shakti is conscious living being, and the ordinary material energy like this, this is dead. There's no consciousness. The walls, the ceiling, the floor, no consciousness. But the tatastha shakti has consciousness. And that consciousness means person. And person means like, dislike, means happiness, distress. It has many, many qualities that the material energy does not have. So this is part of the spiritual science, to understanding the nature of the spiritual energy and how the spiritual energy happens to be existing here in a realm of material energy. So that tatastha shakti, which is life, appears to give life to the dead material energy. So we're all driving a machine, this machine called the body, just like we have an automobile or a car. And the car sits there, lifeless, until the living driver gets inside of it. So the body is also lifeless. It's a vehicle. And when the living being, when the tatastha shakti enters into the body, then the body appears to have life. And when the tatastha shakti leaves the body, then the body is said to be dead. So this is the beginning of the spiritual science. To understand how this spiritual energy is operating in this material world, how the spiritual energy is influenced by the material energy, and it's actually that contact with the material energy that creates the illusion that the tatastha shakti suffers from. So, this is a long, involved science. We invite you to study Prabhupada's books and come back and discuss the subject matter with the devotees until all of your questions are satisfied. Okay? Yeah?
The next question is, we know about Chi and Prana, which is physical energy, and Japanese.
We know about what?
Chi and prana.
Chi and prana,
so
okay.
How can we enlarge or get more of this chi and prana?
You have to ask Ayurvedic doctor about that. I can't answer that. Capable of doing what?
To increase this energy of prana and chi.
This is actually material science. This is not spiritual science. In Krishna consciousness, we're studying the spiritual science, which means how to liberate ourselves from this material energy. All the spiritual beings, the tatastha shakti, they are forced to live in this realm of material energy by their previous activities. And so what we study here is how to free ourselves from being bound to this material energy. So we're not so concerned with these the energies that operate within the body, like prana and chi. We're more concerned with how to become free entirely from contact with this material energy. So there's other people who study these things, and I would refer you to them. They can perhaps answer your questions on that subject. Okay. Something else? Yes?
So the question is, he says that we are already liberated, we are the spiritual beings, so we are already liberated from material energy, but how to realize that?
No, you're not already liberated. Yes, you're a spirit soul, but you're forced to be in this material body. Liberation means free from the material energy. This is another illusion of some people. Sorry. Yes, I'm a liberated soul. Not yet. There are certain symptoms that we read about, and the science that explains how to achieve this state of liberation. So, this takes a great deal of study and application. Keep at it, you'll get liberated soon.
I wanted to ask you, what kind of money then we have Vedic culture? This is not like.
Did everybody hear? What kind of money do they have in Vedic culture? Actually, money is a rather new invention. The oldest money is about 600 BC, and it's created in the Middle East, either the Greeks or the Assyrians. And prior to that, there was no such thing as money, or let's say what we would call a money in terms of a market. What people did prior to that, it was they would exchange things, and they would use what we might call today a commodity currency. They would use a certain measure of, say, a kilo of wheat or a kilo of rice, something that has universal value, and the value never changes. So that was their so-called medium of exchange, and it was not anything illusory. It had actual real value. Sometimes people had the idea that gold was used at that time as money, but no, money, gold was not used as money. They had no such thing as money. And others will say that that they had cows or animals as money, but no, there was no concept of money before about 2,600 years ago. So they were dealing in reality. They were living in reality, and consequently, they didn't have the economic problems that we have today. We have economic problem today because some small number of people, they have the prerogative of creating the money, and everybody else has to go find it or beg from them to get the money somehow or other. But in previous times, people would create value by their effort working from the land. The real, let's say, the basis of economic development in those times was agriculture. And real economic development means you plant one seed and you get back 50 or 100. So this is, you plant one seed of, for example, wheat, you get back 50 seeds. So this is a 5,000% rate of return. A lot better than banks giving today, right? So this is, that's the reality of economics. Yes?
I have one question. It's regarding money. I can try. For example, I would like to go to India and should buy a ticket to India. So does this mean I need, for example, 500 kilos of potatoes? The cashier, he gave me potatoes and he gave me the ticket. As usual, it's not comfortable to have some transactional value because they would need to have a big warehouse of stuff. We will look apart.
If you're doing, it's very difficult for it to hear with you're doing simultaneous translation. Can't hear over him.
So I just said for today's living?
For today's living, no, we can't do that. You can't immediately apply that system in the current world. We've created all these illusions. We have to deal with them in some way. They give some prerogatives. For example, we can fly to India today. We couldn't do that 2,000 years ago. So there's some benefit, but there's other ways to deal with that also. In fact, we don't even need money, except that people, they have this concept of I and mine. I am the owner, I am the possessor, I have so much money. And in fact, money is created to allow people to artificially increase the wealth that they possess. So we create this system that actually creates problems with it. If you wanted, we don't need money. We could, let's say, I have my magic wand and I wave it tonight after everybody goes to sleep and all the money disappears. And part of my magic is that when you wake up tomorrow, everybody's going to go about doing the same thing that they did yesterday. Okay, they'll continue with their job. Everybody will go to work, they'll continue to do the things that they always do, but there won't be any money. So, the clerks will go to the store, the farmers will bring the food to the store, everything can go on. It can go on very nicely, in fact. But, because we're under this illusion of I and mine, we create this idea that this is my money and that is yours, which divides us. Anyway, this is a long discussion. And I invite you to read my book, Spiritual Economics. So, thank you. We're supposed to stop, right? 4:30. So, thank you very much. I'm not sure what my schedule is later. I'll be going away Tuesday someplace, but then I think I come back here toward the end of the month. So I can't say what it is. So stay tuned. We'll find out. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.